Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. I am your daily lover, and this is Stephanie Mills, right here on The Love Journey, home, family, home.
When I think of home, I think of a resting place, a place where there's peace, quiet, and serenity. And that's where some of my friends have gone. Friends who have traveled with me through my wonderful experience in Oz, a journey I'll never forget. When I think of home, I think of a place where there's love overflowing. I wish I was home, I wish I was back there with the
love and affection.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, Your Love Experience with Janine and Ingram. I am your daily lover, and that was Stephanie Mills right here on home, right here on The Love Journey family called home. All right, we're going to get ready in time within, recognizing that there is only one power and one presence. And on this line, we want to recognize the powerful presence of love coming very still and concentrating on the breath. You see, family, there is power in the breath. And so I want you to remember to breathe. There is only one power. One presence. And on this line, we recognize that powerful presence, that great spirit that is known by many names as God, the good, the omnipotent, everywhere present, knowing that there is not a spot that our God is not. Family, I want you to breathe today. I want you to know that there is power in the breath. Let's breathe, family. We're going to breathe by taking in a deep breath, breathing in through the nose, holding it to the count of eight, holding it to the point of vibration, releasing it, and then breathing again. We're going to do it three times. Let's get ready and breathe, family. There is power in the breath, and sometimes we forget to breathe. Be still and know that I am God. Let's breathe, family. And release. Do it again. Be still. Know that I am God. Breathe, family. And release. And last time, be still and know that I am God. Breathe, family. And release.
Day 4, a prayer of forgiveness. Today, I forgive my mother. Blessed Father God, Holy Mother God, today I ask for and allow myself to receive and experience your grace. Today I claim my freedom as I declare my willingness and readiness to release my mother from all hurt, anger, woundedness, judgment, disappointment, and sorrow hidden anywhere in my consciousness or being. I surrender all memories, experiences, circumstances, and situations where I have held my mother with blame or fault. I ask to be lifted above any and all judgments, critiques, assessments, perceptions, beliefs, and habitual patterns of thought in which I see and hold my mother as anything less than your perfect child. I ask that you fill me with your compassion, your truth, your knowledge that allows me to see my mother as your daughter, whom you love and in whom you are well pleased. Lift me beyond my intellect and ego that I may behold my mother with all my heart as you do. I rest in thee. I let it be. And so it is. Today, I forgive my mother. Forgiveness Meditation. This meditation is offered to support you in creating the experience of forgiveness within your mind and body. Forgiveness is the ultimate act of love. It is the choice to give away the hurt, pain, and memories attached to an experience, incident, or upset. Forgiveness transcends the smallness of anger, judgment, and pain, allowing the mind and heart to rise into a place of higher consciousness and love. In order to receive the full benefit of this meditative experience, it is recommended that you listen during a time and in a place where you will not be disturbed for 5 to 7 minutes. See, feel, imagine. Intended to be so. That you are sitting under a beam of golden light. That light comes from the heart or the mind of God, wherever that may be. And it shines down on you, covering you from the top of your head to the soles of your feet, throughout every aspect and fiber of your being. Golden light. Breathe the light in. And release the light. Breathe the light in. And release the light. And allow your heart to be filled with the following thought form. I forgive, I am forgiving, I am forgiven, I am forgivable. I forgive, I am forgiving, I am forgiven, I am forgivable. For every hurt or pain or upset I have ever experienced, I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. For every abandonment, every rejection, every disappointment that I have ever experienced in my life, I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. And breathe the light. And allow it to fill you from the soles of your feet to the crown of your head and down again from your crown to your soul, the golden light of forgiveness. I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. Breathe the light and release. Knowing that the golden light of forgiveness is now integrated into every fiber of your being. And every hurt and every pain, every wound, every disappointment, rejection, judgment, belief, perception, that is anything but love, is now disintegrated in the golden light of forgiveness. As you know, affirm, believe, accept. I forgive. I am forgiving. I am forgiven. I am forgivable. And let it be. And so it is. And we take a long, deep inhale and a slow, complete exhale. a slow, complete inhale. And a slow, complete exhale. And wiggle your fingers and your toes. And stretch your body, allowing the energy of forgiveness to be fully integrated into every fiber of your being. And when you're ready, open your eyes. Focus your gaze upon one thing in the room. And take a long, deep inhale. And drop it with the sound. Bring your awareness back to this space and this time your body. Be renewed by the energy of forgiveness. As you move into your day, be sure to do something good for yourself. And be blessed.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another episode of The Love Journey, your love experience with Janina and Ingram. And I am your daily lover, and we're about to read from The Science of the Mind. Today we're going to talk about vision. Yes. Are you open to accept and receive? This is from The Science of the Mind. Are you open to accept and receive? Always there is the wide place between the dream and its fulfillment. Howard Thurman, quote from a book called For the Inward Journey. In Ernest Holmes' book, The Essential, Ernest Holmes on page 74, they say the truth is instantaneous in its demonstration, taking only such time in its unfoldment as it is inherent in the law of logical and sequential evolution. Today's side of the mind say, yesterday I mentioned the practice of visioning. And one of its elements, the question of what it is we are to release to fulfill the vision. What is it that we need to let go of in order to step into the vision? Visioning is a practice that helped me further understand the creative process by learning that the vision is already done in spirit. Let me say that again. Learning that the vision is already done in spirit. The work is to embody the spiritual qualities revealed in the vision and release anything that is not in alignment with it. Visions are often bigger than what we think we can do. Be spirit idea for us is not limited in any way. We are the only ones who can limit ourselves by not listening to inner guidance and resisting any change we must make to fully become the vision. A vision already exists in spirit, and yet it can take form only as we evolve into a greater awareness of who we are and what is possible. We must release habits, thoughts, beliefs that hinder us from becoming the vision. You see, when a vision begins to manifest, spirit reveals people, resources, and opportunity that supports the vision. We must be prepared to recognize and accept what is offered only if we have done the work to embody the vision. And when we have done our work, we become the vision, and it manifests often in ways we did not expect. Our lives are transformed in the process of becoming what we envision. Today's affirmation, I am open to receive and accept Spirit's vision for my life. Come on, Holy Spirit. I am open to receive and accept Spirit's vision for my life. Together, family. I am open to receive and accept Spirit's vision for my life. I so often love, she said, I'm living a dream, family. And she said, I'm not living a dream because I'm special. I'm living a dream because I was obedient to Spirit. She was obedient to her call, family. And oftentimes I think about that. Oftentimes I think about her saying that. Because so many times people think, people like Oprah and Tyler Perry are so super special, but she said, I am not special. She said, family, I was obedient to the call. I'm living the dream, not because I'm special, because I was obedient to the call. I feel like we should listen and hear that. You know, instead of me talking, I think I'm going to re-talk about vision tomorrow, but I want you to really hear this. Because we use Oprah as an example, but we don't really think about what it took for Oprah to get to where she is today. We think about, but she tells us the secret. The secret is being obedient to the call. I'm not special. I was obedient to the call. This is Oprah's words at the Essence Festival. She said, I was obedient. And so when you think about being obedient to the call, if Oprah says that I am not special, then when we think about Spirit's vision for our life, what is Spirit's vision for our life? How many of us are so caught up in what we got planned for our life that we haven't been able to sit still and hear the vision for our life that was implanted inside of us? The vision that God has for us. What is God's vision for your life? And when I think about that, I always think about, oh, because she tells us that she wasn't special. She was just obedient. She said all she wanted was a house basically with six trees, and she got a house with 3,860-some trees. Because that's an Ephesians 3:20 kind of life. Abundantly, now abundantly more than you can ever think, ask, or imagine when you live the vision. When we embody the vision. So today's science of the mind reminds us that what is it going to take? What do we have to let go of? What do we need to release in order for us to actually operate in the gift we've been called? And I want us to really think about that. That we must become in order to release, in order to live the vision. Now, we have to become something that makes us unhappy. Sometimes we think Spirit's vision is not in line with our lot. But that's not true. The true essence of being aligned with the essence of God's vision is truly understanding that God wants what we want for our lives. I was reading in the Dynamic Laws of Prosperity, talking about the Imaging Law of Healing. Article she wrote, a doctor of chiropractor first introduced me to the Imaging Law of Healing. When he pointed out how often proper use of the imagination had helped to overcome serious health problems in his patients, a distraught mother brought her daughter to him for treatment, saying, I really don't know why I keep trying to find a cure for my daughter's skin condition since I know it is incurable. And the doctor asked, what makes you think her skin condition is incurable? Because every doctor that I've talked with has said so, retorted the mother. And the doctor replied, the only That only means her condition is incurable in their opinion. But that does not mean her condition is incurable, because nothing is incurable in God's sight. Let me say that again, family. Nothing is incurable in God's sight. Nothing. Not AIDS, not HIV, not herpes. Nothing is incurable in God's sight. Cancer is not a death sentence. Scientists tell us that the body is constantly rebuilding, curing itself. When the body is fed a mental picture of wholeness, it builds itself according to that picture. Whereas when fed thoughts of hopelessness and incurability, the body builds the cells according to that mental picture. So in this way, he sets up in the mother's mind a mental picture, talking about the doctor. He sets up in the mother's mind a mental picture that her daughter could be healed. He then talked with the little girl, asking what would she most like to do when her skin was again clear. She replied that she wanted to go swimming. So he took some money out of his wallet, and the doctor said, "You see this money? It will be yours for that swim the day you come for final treatment." Each time she returned for a chiropractic adjustment, he spoke of the day she would be completely well again and will head for the swimming pool. In this way, the mental image of healing was stimulated and accepted. It took a number of weeks of steady treatment and mental imagery, but this child's condition cleared up completely. On the day she came in for that final treatment and claimed the money for her swim, this doctor's nurse shook her head and said to him privately, "I just do not understand how you did it, because we both know that her condition was incurable." Quip, the doctor said, "To be the picture of health, one must get into a good frame of mind." You see, the imaging faculty of the mind is our most important ingredient for health, wealth, happiness, prosperity. Yet it has often been misunderstood and belittled because of ignorance of this fantastic power. Most of us have been victims of our own imagination. A noted doctor at Harvard Medical School once pointed out that this out to the medical students. He lectured on the fantastic power of the imagination. He warned them against imagining what they personally had, the disease they were studying. He stated that medical history is full of examples of people who have made themselves sick through destructive use of their imagination. This noted medical specialist then cited how misuse of his imagination had made him sick early in his medical career with what he thought was Bright's disease at that time. He had vividly described every phase of the disease in great detail while lecturing on the subject. The more he thought about it and talked about this disease, the more convinced he became that he was developing it. The conviction grew so strong that he did not even dare to undergo a physical examination. Instead, he lost his appetite, color, energy, weight, and finally was unable to work. Hearing of his condition, a medical friend visited him and was so alarmed at this man's appearance that he offered to examine him. But the doctor replied it would be no good because he already knew that he had this dreaded disease. Only after a great deal of persuasion did he finally submit to an examination, which revealed there was not the slightest evidence of a disease of any kind. The patient then rallied quickly in his appetite, color, energy, and weight return. See, two of us realize the almost superhuman power of our imagination. We have no idea about the power of imagination upon our life, our body, our affairs. In the 16th century, Paracelsus pointed out imagination is one of the biggest causes of man's disease. Just as the imagination has a fantastic destructive power, so does it have a fantastic constructive power. This power in the imagination, this power in visioning, because the imagination is the faculty of the mind which pictures and forms. The imagination is the author of size, wave, form, color. Everything that is visible was first an invisible mental picture and was brought forth as a tangible result by the picturing power of the mind. It is well known that the artist sees in their mind every picture they put on canvas. In like mind, we accumulate a mass of ideas, and with this imagination molds them into definite results. It's through the imagination that the formless takes form. So you ask how, right? When your imagination flashes its mental picture into cells that make up the organs of your body, the brain center in those cells respond. Out of the substance found within them, they make form that corresponds to the picture that is often flashed them by the imagination. For instance, if you are imagining wholeness, your mental picture fixes the idea of wholeness in the invisible mind substance located right within the cells of your body. The forces of the mind found in the cells then get busy producing that picture of wholeness. If you are picturing some evil conditions in your body through the same process, the imagination will build up the cells of your body until it appears as a physical ailment. Picture, or to imagine, is one of the most powerful scientific ways of producing and manifesting whatever we desire in our life. Envisioning health is one of the most quickest ways to bring forth a healing in our bodies, in our whatever affairs in our life. You see, according to the Latin, to it means to consume, to become pregnant, or take into one's mind. Let's say it again. According to Latin roots, image means to conceive, to become pregnant with, to take into mind. Just as one cannot give into a child, the physical conception has occurred, neither can one give birth, come on now, to new health, wealth, plus anything, until mental conception has occurred. One must first see it or image it or conceive it. The image makes the condition, and without the image, there can be no condition. I want you to think about that. Because what is imagination, according to Albert Einstein, is the preview of God's coming attraction for our life. It's the previews for God's coming attraction of our life. You see, it's through deliberate, constructive use of your imagination that you can prove and produce wonderful changes in your mind, your body, and your life affairs. That means that you have to really own the fact that you're a metaphysician. It's hard. I know some people physically see beyond what is being told and what you are feeling. I know, oh, you got these pains going through your body, and somebody is telling you that all you have to do is imagine being healed, but the pain is so extra, it's so hard. But you have to learn how to still the mind, still the body, and see past and feel past all that is going on so that you can bring forth your healing. Yeah, your bank account is in the minus, and they saying that you can see past it by imagining. But that's our job, is to learn to see past the physical. See past the physical. You see, imagination is the power to gather thoughts together in new, different arrangement and to hold so firmly to those new mental pictures that they actually manifest in your body, your life, and your affairs. If you can hold it, I once heard, if you can hold an idea, a mental picture in your mind, you can hold it in your hand. I want you to see yourself in good health. Not casually. You must persist in that picture. You see, when your mental picture reaches a certain level of intensity that your imagining faculty then steps in with shape and forms it into proving it into the physical world, that's when we're really doing the work. It's the persistent soul that is the most successful in proving the natural law of healing. You see, when definite ideas are deliberately pictured by the imagining faculty, they are unable to take shape and expand to precise results in mind and affairs of each and every one of us. You see, our constant experience and results that correspond to the intensity of our imagination. In the Dynamic Laws of Prosperity, the story of a housewife who proved that intensity is the secret of success in invoking the law of her imagining power. You see, this housewife had suffered a severe knee infection. After many weeks, continued to be swollen, infected, and very painful. Unable to gain assurance from others as to its permanent healing, this woman decided to invoke the power of the imagination into healing. Every day she began sitting quietly for a time and directing her attention not to the swollen knee, but to the one that was healthy. She would place her hand on the healthy knee, give thanks for wholeness, and get a strong mental picture of that perfected knee. And daily she continued the mental exercise. And when anyone asked about her ailing knee, she conveyed the law of her mind and then began to see it perfect, whole and complete, and always replying that her knee was healing nicely. And though at this point her statement was strictly one of faith, she knew that it was going to heal though. At first, for a long time, there was no change in her affected knee, but she persisted. She kept on going. She knew with every ounce in her being that one day she would see her knee whole, perfect, and complete. So one morning, after weeks and weeks of pain, after weeks of swelling, after weeks and weeks, she awakened to find, come on, family, that overnight the swelling had disappeared. The knee had lost all appearance of abnormalities. And it was again in its proper size. And upon closer inspection, it looked as though the skin in that area had been pricked in many places and the infected substance had simply escaped. Her husband, a successful businessman, substantiated her experience to me. They both spoke of how delighted her physician was when they examined her knee and realized that an unusual healing had taken place. But really, it was the law of the imagination. You see, it's through the imagination that we can meet all types of challenges successfully. It's through the mind that we can heal our finances. We can heal our relationships, our marriages, our children, sales of property, domestic help, whatever it is that we want to imagine. You see, when you connect your thinking with a disease atmosphere of any kind, you become susceptible to the effects of that atmosphere, the consciousness of which may contain a number of diseases that you are not aware of. This is why it's not wise to listen to other people's descriptions and call other ways to fill your mind with ideas of lack, disease. Your imagination takes that stuff seriously. It really produces those diseases within you. You see anger, jealousy, possessiveness, resentment, condemnation, hate, negative thinking of any kind forms a disease germs. Continue negative thinking forms large currents of disease germs that are then related within your organism in a mighty stream, thoroughly poisoning it. It's important that we use our imagination in the most powerful way. When the image disappears from the mind, its physical equivalent will disappear from the body. That's some powerful stuff. And I want you to marinate on that. What are you thinking? What are you thinking? You see, when the image disappears from the mind, its physical equivalent disappears from the body. What have you been thinking? Charles Fillmore, who is one of my favorite authors, he proved that when you cease to feed and nourish negative pictures in the mind, you free yourself of their effects on the body. When Mr. Fillmore was nearing the age of 50, he wrote this. About 3 years ago, the belief in old age began to take hold of me. I was nearing the half-century mark.
And I began to get wrinkled and gray. My knees began to totter and a great weakness came over me. I did not discern the cause at once, but I found in my dreams I was associating with old people, and it gradually dawned upon me that I was coming into this phase of race belief. You see, I began to see myself as old. I spent hours and hours silently affirming my unity with the infinite energy of the one God. I began associating with drum, dance with the way, saying folk songs with them, and for a time took on the frivolity of the thoughtless kid. In this way, I switched the old age current of thought. Then I went and deep down within my body and talked to the inner life centers. I want you to hear this. He said, I went deep down within the body and talked to the inner life centers. I told them with firmness and decision that I will never submit to old age, that I was determined never to give in. And gradually, I felt a new life current coming up from the life center. It was a faint little stream at first, and months went by before I got into the surface. Now it is growing strong by leaps and bounds. My cheeks have filled out, the wrinkles and the crow's feet are gone, and I actually feel like a young boy again. Later in 1919, at the age of 65, Mr. Fillmore went through an illness so serious that those close to him did not see how he was going to survive. For months, he was unable to work. Yet as he continued affirming and holding to the pitch of health, he came out of that near-fatal illness with renewed vigor and lived. Come on, family. You know God is good. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? He lived 30 years longer than they had told him he would. You see, those last three decades was among the busiest of his life. And we can even greatly accelerate the healing in our life through the power of the imagination. You see, it's important that we see in our mind's eye what we want to bring into our experience. We should be constantly seeing in our mind. Constantly seeing in our mind better than the best that we are experiencing now. We should constantly see that. You see, there's power in the mind, thoughts. There's power in imaging what it is that we want. It's power in visualizing what it is that we desire. I taught my daughter how to ride her bike through the art of vision. Because what happened when she was about 6 or 7 and we were running down and I was trying to run with her with that bike and teach her how to ride that bike. And I got tired. I said, you know what, let's try this. So I would take her and we would just close our eyes and we would see her riding that bike. And she would close her eyes and she would imagine herself riding a bike. 3 to 4 days later, after us imagining her riding that bike, guess what? Diamond didn't need training wheels anymore. She was riding her bike. My daughter, youngest daughter, was a part of the gymnastics. She was into the tumbling gymnastics. And so she had went to state, and she wanted to take the top three, one of the top three medals in the state. So every day I would have her practice, and every day we would sing the song, I Am Number One. Am Number One, and we would say that, and we would scream it, and she would tumble, and while she's tumbling, we would scream and scream, and I'd make her look in the mirror and look in her eyes and say she was number one. So we went to state, and she did her performance. Each person did their tumbling performance, their flips and all the stuff. And we sitting in the bleachers at this time getting ready to get our medals, right, her medals. And now we had envisioned her having number one medal. She was visioning and visioning and seeing it, and we were screaming, I am number one. We meditated. We saw it in our mind's eye the day before. We got up that morning, lit our candle, sat in front of the candle, and visualized her being number one. So we're sitting waiting for each medal. We had number 10, and somebody got 10th place. They called somebody's name at the 9th place. And about the 8th place, my daughter began to cry. 7th place, she began to cry harder because they hadn't called her name. 6th place, she laying down on the ground screaming because she could not believe they had called her name. 5, she was just outdone. 4, 3, she was pulling her hair, screaming and hollering because she did not get placed. 2, she's screaming, oh, no. And 1, they called her name. And she's so busy screaming and hollering, crying, that she didn't even hear that they called her name for number one. So now, when she go up there to get her medal, she looks a plum mess for crying and screaming all that time. And so she goes get her number one medal, and she comes back. And I said, now, why was you doing all that screaming and hollering when you asked for number one, child? We envisioned what you want, but you expected something different. But she got the number one medal. And I know it was from all the work of practicing and envisioning that in our minds each and every day that she would get the first place medal. She took state, family, all through the power of imagining. I won't say it was the power of her faith, because by the time we got there, she thought she should have got 876543. One of them numbers should have been hers, right? But she, because she stopped believing it, she didn't think she did that good. She was so in disbelief that by the time they called her name, she was screaming and hollering and crying after all this envisioning work we did. So she learned a very valuable lesson. My daughter only wanted to go to Howard University. So we used to do our vision board. And by the time she got ready to go to college, she was had already had her letter with on Howard's letterhead that she created with Howard's logo, that she, congratulations, Anthony, you have been accepted. And all on her wall, she had all this Howard memorabilia. And she was so super excited. So now she was getting prepared to go to college. And I said, Ebony, I think you should apply to more than just my school, though, babe. No, mama, if you're going to ask for rain, you take an umbrella. So she didn't apply to no other school. Now, I didn't think that was the best idea, but I went along with it because I did teach her, if you want something, you don't settle for plan B, you go for plan A. So now I got to swallow my words and let her do this. I'm letting her do it her way. So she goes here, and she only applies to one school, which was Howard University. I'll never forget, December 15th that year, we got a letter in the mail. It was an early letter. And do you know, it was an early acceptance into Howard University. And even though I didn't think it was a good idea to only apply to one school, she got accepted into Howard University family through the power of visioning. She had been visioning going to Howard since she was in sixth grade, and she knew that she was going to go to Howard. Now, listen to this. It's interesting. I heard this story Khadija was telling me. I hadn't heard it yet, but when we were talking about the wedding this weekend, the royal wedding, she said that Meghan had been visioning herself in the royal castle since she was a little girl. Y'all didn't hear me. This little girl had been going to the royal castle envisioning her life ever since she was a little girl as a princess, that one day she would be in there. Now tell me the power of vision. So I just want you to know that the imagination, the visioning process, is one of the most powerful tools we can use to create our life. What is it that we want? What is it that we want in our lives that we have been visioning the wrong vision? Because, you know, remember, the story that we vision is the story we live. Story that we vision is the story that we live. What are we telling ourselves? What is our mantra? So many times I hear women out here saying, oh, men are this, men, or I see men saying, women are this, women that. Is that the story you really want to live? So many times I hear people claiming dis-ease and claiming all the stuff that they see in the world's mind. Is that the story we really want to live? Gas prices is this, and all this is going up, and complaining about our president. Is that the story we really want to live? Do a president really affect how you live your life each and every day? We have to continue to take dominion over our life, family. And so today I want to remind you that you have the power. You have the power to vision the life you desire. Nobody else has that big power but you. What are you visioning? What are you seeing in your mind's eye? And are you really ready to receive and accept the vision that God has for our life? And so today, our question is, what must I release in order to become this great vision that I see for myself? Because I know that we often times not understand what it takes to get from the vision space into the manifested space where we physically see what it is that we've been envisioning for this amount of time. So I want you to really think about today. What is it, the one thing that you really vision for yourself? And I want you to just be fierce about it, intense about it. I want you to create one little vision board about that one thing. And I want to do one thing because it's easier to concentrate on one thing. And I want you to create just a nice-sized vision of what it is you want. If you want to be a New York Times bestseller, a master speaker, or maybe you want to create health for yourself, maybe your knees, you want to see yourself with a better weight, whatever that is, I want you to create a vision for that. And I want you to see that in your life every day. And just one thing, don't create a vision board with many things, but just this vision of what it is that you see in yourself that you want to really create. The more than anything else in this world, what is it that your priority want? Is it health? Is it wealth? Is it a marriage? Is it a great marriage? And I want you to just take that, and I want you to see that. And then every day, get up and bless that vision. And give thanks for that vision. And give thanks that it is already done. Because remember, in the science of the mind, it says what? That spirit is already, it's already done in the spirit. She said, visioning is a practice that helped me further understand the creative process by learning that the vision is already done in spirit. The vision is already done in spirit. Our work is to embody the qualities, the spiritual qualities revealed in the vision, and release anything that is not in alignment with it. So if your idea is becoming more financially free, then one of the things that we have to release from the body, mind, and soul is the idea of lack. What do we have to do to embody these spiritual qualities of prosperity in order for us to be in alignment with what it is we desire, financial freedom? If we want to envision in health for us, a really powerful health, what is it that we must release in our consciousness? The belief in the idea that this is more powerful than the healing power of God. We are the only ones limiting ourselves by resisting change. You see, the vision already exists in spirit, and yet it can take form as we evolve. So it only comes together in the physical world as we become aligned with the gift of that vision. And whatever it takes for us to evolve, the universe is patient with us. What do we have to do to become aligned with the vision? One of the things is we must release habits and beliefs that hinder us from becoming that vision. Today, create the vision. Just the one vision. What is it that you want specifically to be done in your life? What is that vision? Put that vision up everywhere in your home. Put it on your refrigerator. Put it in the mirror. Put it in the bathroom. Put it on the wall in your bedroom. Put it on the door before you go out the house. And see that vision coming together. Every day, thank God for an amazing gift of that vision. And then come back and tell me, won't God do it? Won't God do it? Come back and tell me, won't God do it? Because that's all the imagination is, God's playground. It's the vision of God's coming attraction of our life. Now, what do I need to do in order to allow myself to reveal the presence of God in me in that way? Oftentimes I heard Dr. Johnny Coleman say there's nothing to heal, only God to be revealed. There's nothing to heal in our finance, only God to be revealed. That, what does that mean, only God to be revealed? That means that we're releasing ideas that are not of God and allowing God's presence to reveal itself through us as prosperity, as good health, as great wealth, as great relationships, whatever it is that we envision as a fully portionate, beautiful, healthy body. All those things our alignment with what God wants for us. But because of our acceptance of lack, because of our acceptance of poverty, because of our accepting the idea that these things exist, these become the visions that we see in our lives. Because our life is only a demonstration of our own belief system. If I believe men are no good, then guess what? I'm going to experience men are no good. If I believe in the idea of these diseases, I'm going to keep on continuing to experience the disease in my body. If I believe whatever I believe, I get to experience it. It tells us in the word according to our belief system. So sometimes we need to stop and ask God and praise God and bless our belief system. God bless my ability to believe. Come on, Holy Spirit. Bless my ability to see with the eyes of you, Holy Spirit. Bless my ability to imagine God. And so today, as we move through, what is it that we must release in order to be in line with what it is that we want to envision for our lives? That's our assignment. So this week, I would love to see how you came to put your vision together. And I'm not talking about a full vision board of many things. Just one thing so that we can intensely put our energy into becoming that vision for our lives. What does that mean for you? Won't God do it, God? And so today, to know that you have the power. And most of it is that we have to learn to let go of things that we have allowed to become habits in our thoughts, habits in our belief systems. Open yourself to a new way of thinking. Ask God to reveal God's self to you. And if you are rooted in your Christianity and you want to read these things in the Word, then ask God to reveal God's Word to you through the Bible or through your religious text, whatever that may look like to you, but ask God to reveal God's self to you Don't take my word or anybody else's word. Ask God to download into you what it is that you need to know about God, about your life, about your direction. Because let me tell you, no matter how I would love to be the most amazing gift to the planet and tell you all these oracle ideas, the best oracle for in the world for you is yourself. You are the answer to all of your challenges. You are the answer to your life. You, not me, not nobody, not your pastor, nobody. You are the answer, and the answer is you. Now, you know, sometimes, you know, as leaders, sometimes you get caught up in your ego. And, of course, you get caught up in the flattery of things, and you want to think that you're bigger than life. But in reality, you're only bigger than life in your own life. You are your presence of God in your own life. You are the best kept secret in your own life. Seek the counsel of your inner wisdom. What is it that the divine is emerging through me? And I want you to really ask these deep down questions. Because these are some really deep down questions that's important to ask ourselves. As we begin to put together our visions that we're going to do, that we're going to put in every room, every area. Because this is just the soul level work that it's time for us to get to. I'm talking about that soul stirring work, the work that takes you to the next level. See, when we're being pulled by our vision, that's something that's calling us higher. And God is calling you higher. You know, God is calling you at that soul level to come into alignment with what you came to the planet to do. And nobody can do what you've been called to do the way you've been called to do it. What vision is calling you higher? And so when you think about that, I want you to sit in silence. Light your candle. Put your meditative music on, whatever that may be, jazz, meditation, whatever that may look like, and be really introspective of what it is that you want to bring. What vision do you really want to bring into life? What is the universe calling you to? You see, only you know the answers to that. What gifts did we come here for our souls to unfold? If we were to leave this planet today, did we give our gift? Did we give more blessings than pain? Did we serve? Did we leave a vibrational imprint on the planet? Did we give more than we take? We can no longer take a back seat. We got to have the courage and the confidence to speak of possibilities and walk in that direction. Time for that transformation at the soul level. What is the soul wanting to unfold? What is your divine assignment on this planet? Come on, family. It's time to ask the empowering question. It's time to calm your thoughts. Call in absolute divine love. And when you go in within calling forth it and invoking your higher self, you ask, what is the highest vision of my life? What is the highest vision of my life? What is seeking to emerge inside of me? What is seeking to emerge in me, through me, as my life? What must I become in order to manifest this beautiful vision, this gift that God has given me to share with the world? What must I become? What must I release to manifest this vision? What talents and gifts and skills and qualities do I already possess that I can serve this vision? And then just give gratitude. Just give gratitude by saying, thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you that the vision has already taken form, that it has already been vibrating within the being that came into this existence, that is already to allow its full, come on, Holy Spirit, its full expression through me and as me all around me. Come on, God. Can't nobody do it like God. And that is my message for today. I want you to take a few minutes sometime this week and really honor these questions. Put the vision together that you see. What vision came up? And put it, if it's a speaker, see yourself with a microphone standing, millions of people getting paid for your gifts and your talents, expressing your God self. Do it, family, because nobody can do it like you. What must I do to release this vision, God? Family, imagination is the preview of God's coming attraction of our life. That's my message today, family. As I remind you that your life is a gift from God, and what you do with your life is a gift back to God, remember to choose love. Love is a choice. And remember, family, don't just dream your God-sized dream, but to live your God size dreams. Live them, family. Your dreams will always prevail.
There's nothing stronger or more powerful than a dream. Even in darkness, dreams have an infinite capacity to see light. They outlive pain. They outlast heartbreak. They overcome doubt, they forget imperfection. They cannot be beaten, broken, or taken. Dreams fight, they persevere, they go on. Because determination will always trump disappointment. Desire will always triumph over defeat. And dreams will always prevail.
Father.